Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma's test. We are on Chesam and Beis. We're starting three lines from the bottom. We're starting with the words Tanan Hussam. We're going to be quoting a Mishnah in Demai. The Mishnah in Demai is going to seemingly have nothing to do with what we have been discussing. So I'll create the connection right now. It's going to be obvious that when we get to the end of the Mishnah, but the connection has to do with the Parhedrin. So we know that the Kohen Gadol is going to be sequestered, and we know that he's being sequestered to the Lishkas Parhedrin. So that already takes us to the beginning of the Masechta. We're still holding by the first Mishnah. So the Shiva Yemei HaFrasha, the 7 days of sequestering of the Kohen Gadol in anticipation and preparation for Yom Kippur, as we learned in yesterday's daf, to elevate him in Kedusha and to make sure that he has a proper state of mind, frame of mind when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh in Yom Kippur. So all this is done where he goes into the Lishkas Parhedrin. Where the Lishkas Parhedrin is, so we discussed that on Daf Beis. We discussed in yesterday's daf as well, Daf Ches. Quoted Tosus yesterday on Ches Amud Beis. Or Tosus says that it's Bakodesh, it's in the Azara, but the entrance is probably outside of Har HaBayis. And Tosus says you have to say that, otherwise he couldn't sit in the Lishkas Parhedrin, and certainly he couldn't lie down in the Lishkas Parhedrin. Okay, so that's the location. Why is it called the Lishkas Parhedrin? So as we're going to learn, Lishkas Parhedrin is a Lashon of officer. That's coming up later in today's daf. So it's a description of officer. So basically it's the officer's chamber, the officer's quarter, if you will. Okay, why did it receive that name? Parhedrin is not a complimentary term. It's going to be clear in today's daf. Parhedrin is a term to describe basically officers who basically switch offices every year. And with every new officer that comes in, so he tries to impose his will. And, you know, he likes the power. He loves the power that he just received. And he abuses the power that he receives. So that's the Parhedrin that we're going to be describing in the course of today's daf. And that's the Lishkas Parhedrin. And now the Mishnah in Demai, which again, seemingly has nothing to do with our discussion, but in a moment, it'll be clear why we're quoting this Mishnah in Demai. So, Tanan Hasam. So, with that as an introduction, now we get to see the beginning of today's daf. We are three lines from the bottom of Chesamad Beis. Hanachtamim lochai v'osam chachamim la'afri shalachumas maisa v'chala. So, you had bakers. So, every grain of flour was part of their business, and so as part of their business model, so if they were required to give all of Trumas and Maiso, so it would be it'd be challenging. It'd be financially challenging. Now, to be clear, if they're chayv in Trumas and Maiso's min haTorah, so then it doesn't matter how challenging it is. Meaning, okay, so you give Trumas and Maiso, that's obvious. But we're talking about Demai over here. The purchasing from an Amah Aretz, we know that most of the Amah Aretz gave off Trumas and Maisos. We know that a minority didn't. We know the rabbis imposed a Chumrah, that when you purchase produce from a Amah Aretz, you still have to take off Trumas and Maisos. It's a Chumrah Derabbanan. The Chachamim recognized that it was a Chumrah, and so therefore they gave Kulas within their Chumrah. Okay, so we're learning together in this Mishnah in Demai one of those kulas, and that is that if you're a baker, and that means that you're buying wheat, you're buying barley, and you're turning it into bread, and now you're selling, and now you're turning around selling it. So basically, this chumrah of Demai is going to cut into your profits. So the Chachamim over here were mekel. They told the Nachtam and the bakers, basically, here's what you have to do. All you have to do is take off Trumas Meiser, which is just 1%. And you have to be mafresh challah. Now mafresh challah, freshest challah, is for a baker is going to be 1/48. It's about another 2% approximately. So basically, you're going to take off a total of 3%. But that's it. Meaning not truma gedola, not meiser rishon, not meiser sheni. You just take off trumas meiser, challah, and that's it. Now the Gemara is going to go through this. Again, I know this sounds like it has nothing to do with our discussion. So we'll just hold on to that. We're going to come back to that. Now, Bishlam, Truma Gedola Lo. Now, the Gemara says, I get everything. In terms of what the Nachtam doesn't have to take off. He doesn't have to take off Truma Gedola Tanya, as we now turn to the top of Tesamad Aleph. Lefisha Shalach B'chol Gvula Yisrael V'rashi Emar Fishanela Truma Gedola Bavad. Because basically, they did a survey, and they did research, and what they found is that the Amei Haaretz were for sure taking off Truma Gedola. They took off Truma Gedola because Truma Gedola not only has in it the requirement to give to the Kohen, it's not only Manos Kuna, but also has Isser. A Zar, a non-Kohen who eats Truma Gedola, is going to be Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So they took off Truma Gedola. So Maiser Rishon, Maiser Ani, Nami Lo, Amos Mechaveir Ola V'raya. And as far as Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni is concerned, so I'm sorry, Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani are concerned. So there, look, the halachas is as follows. There's no Isser element to it. It's just a Nesina element to it. They have to give it, obviously, the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. The Maaser Ani to Aniyim. But over here, again, you purchase it from an Amaretz. There's a really good chance the Amaretz already took off Trumas HaMaisros. So now you're doing so Al Schomra. But this is a Mamonos issue. We know that as long as you're in possession, possession is 9/10 of the law. In Yiddishkeit, possession is 10/10 of the law. So therefore, there is no requirement to give it to the designated Levi or the designated Ani, because they have to prove to you that the Am Haaretz you purchased the produce from didn't take off Trumas HaMaisros. So the Gemara says, so fine. So Maaser, so Truma Gedola, we explain why the Nachtam doesn't have to take off. And the Nachtam also doesn't have to take off Maaser Rishon, nor does he have to take off Maaser Ani, Ella Maaser Sheni, Nifreshu V'Nisku V'Nichlu B'Yerushalayim. But Maaser Sheni, it's not just Nesina. First of all, you don't give the Maaser Sheni to anybody. You retain it for yourself. The Maaser Sheni, you take off 10%. In years numbers 1, 2, 4, and 5, you take it off, the second 10%. And you hold on to it, you have to take it up to Yerushalayim, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, meaning outside Yerushalayim would violate a law of the Torah. So by Maaser Sheni, I don't understand why are we not telling the Nachtom that he's got to take off Maaser Sheni and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat Yerushalayim. So Amar Ula mitoch shepar hedjan ala lechoftin masan called Yud Beis Chosh v'omim lahem machr bezol lo achachuna rabbanan. So the explanation of the Gemara is, Ula's explanation is because of these parhedrin. Basically, these parhedrin, they're officers. They're officers that take power once a year. New parhedrin every year. And what basically they do is they tell them to sell them at a reduced price. In other words, what does that mean, reduced price? Meaning that they are skimming off the top. They're going to be taking a percentage. And they're insisting that any of the profit loss is going to have to be suffered by the baker. And so these parhedrin are the ones that are basically diminishing any kind of profit or any kind of return on the part of the Nachtam. So the Chachamim said, you know what? 10% is obviously a lot. So we're going to relax Maaser Sheni as well. So, and again, remember, this is Demai. So there is a good chance that the Am Haaretz in which you purchased from already took off Maaser Sheni. So the idea that you're not taking off Maaser Sheni, it's not that we're ignoring the mitzvah, the Isser of Maaser Sheni. It's just that there is a chance that the Am Haaretz did so himself. And as far as the Chomer de Rabbanan, that we have to do it again when we purchased it from the Am Haaretz, so the Chachamim gave a relaxation to the Nachtam. Okay? And that all, the reason why we just went through that Mishnah Demai, is just simply to highlight the term Parhedrin. My Parhedrin, Porse. So the Gemara says the word Parhedrin is a reference to Porse. It's an officer. The Gemara now is going to be darshaning. The rest of today's daf is all going to be drashas and drashas chazal, having to do with Chorban Bayis Rishon and Chorban Bayis Sheni. Right? A lot of these Gemaras that we're going to be seeing today, you've heard before. They're popular Gemaras. But we're now going to see in the context of today's daf. So we're going to start off with the Pasuk and Mishle. The Pasuk and Mishle writes, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, Mishnos Vashem Tikzerena. So Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, the first half of the Pasuk and Mishle, Zeh Mikdash Rishon. So that's a reference to the first base of Mikdash Amad, Arba Meos Vester Shanim. The entire duration of Bayis Rishon was 410 years. Velo Shimshubo Ela Yudches Kohanim Gedolim. And how many Kohen Gadol served in the first base of Mikdash? So the gears that we have in our Gemara is 18. Okay, there is a lengthy discussion to be had. See the last Tosfos over here on our Amud in terms of how many Kohen Gadol served in that first base of Mikdash. So their girsas range anywhere from 8 to 9 to 12 to 18. Okay, the pasuk, you can see Tosfos right in the beginning. Tosfos dibra amaskav lo shimshu bo ala yuches kohanim. Rival garis shmona kohanim. According to the Rival, the correct gear says 8 kohanim. Kidichsi behejah bedivra ayamim. Now it happens to be that over here you want a good raya. Open up a navi. Open up Divrei Hayamim to be more specific. And there you're going to see enumerated are 8 kohanim that span the total duration of Bayis Rishon. So it certainly sounds like from a pasuk in Tanakh that the correct yirsa should be 8. Okay, so there are defenses to be made. How do you get to 9? How do you get to 18? Our Gemara says 18. One of the suggestions that Tosfos makes over here, I'm obviously just going to summarize Tosfos. We're not going to go through it. But one of the suggestions Tosfos makes is that you get to the number 18 by assuming that there are 9. Now, there is a way to count the Pasuk and Divrei Hayamim to get to 9 Kohanim during the first Bayis Rishon. And then you're going to say 9, and you're also going to count the Skan as well. So every Kohen Gadol has a Skan, has got a deputy. So 9 times 2, it gets you to 18. However, whatever the number is, the point of the Gemara is that it's a small number. right? I did the math at home just to entertain myself, right? So if we're talking about 9 Kohanim, so that over 410 years, so that means that every Kohen basically served for a term of 45 years, okay? Lahavdol in our country, so the Supreme Court, you talk about those kinds of numbers, right? Presidency, 4 years, right? eight if they're lucky. But over here, you're okay. So the point is that during the first Beis Hamikdash, so you had, you had really long terms of Kohen Gadol. And now going back to the Pasuk in Mishle, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, meaning they had Yiras Shamayim. It's very simple. These Kohanim had a lot of Yiras Shamayim. And they were God-fearing and they were religious and good. So each one of them lasted for an extraordinarily long time. Whatever the number actually is, 9, 8, 9, 12, 18, they went for a long time. Ushnos Rishayim Tikatsana, now you probably know where we're heading next. And then the second half, the contrast of that Pasuk and Mishle is that, you know, when you're dealing with Rishayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kotzer, it cuts it off. Zeh Mikdash Sheni. Now, the second base of the mixture was 420 years. Now, you've heard me say this before. So there is a machlokus between our tradition and the secular tradition in terms of the length of Bayis Sheni. Our tradition, as the Gemara here in today's daf, clearly articulates, and there are other Gemaras as well, and Seder Olam articulates this very clearly as well. Our tradition is that the second base of the mixture lasted for 420 years. Right. If you studied history in any university, so you're going to hear that the Second Temple Commonwealth will lasted for well over 420 years. Something akin to 550 years, something along those lines. Right. You'll forgive me for not being a little bit more precise right now, but there is a conflict in terms of how long the Second Beis Hamikdash lasted. We're right now in Gemara. We're going to go with our tradition, 420 years. Of the 420 years, Vishimshu Bo Yosef Mishlosh Meos Kohanim. Now, the Gemara over here gives an incredible number of Kohen Gadlos that served in the second base. And make this the number 300. Now, what makes that number incredible? Well, aside from the fact that's 300 Kohen Gadlos within a span of 420 years, but wait, we're not done. Tzemehem Emshana Shishimshu Shimnat Tzadik. First of all, Shimnat Tzadik, who is Meshayari Knesset Sagadola, the first Kohen Gadol that was servicing the second base of Mikdash. So he was there for 40 years, so knock out that. So help me keep score. So that's already 380. Ushmonim Shishimash Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And now take off another 80 years in which Yochanan Kohen Gadol served, right? That also is just staggering, that one Kohen Gadol served for 80 years. But okay, so take that off. So now we're down to 300. And then Esther Shishimash Yishmal Ben Pavi. And now take off another 10 years that Yishmal Ben Pavi served. V'amirla Yudav Shishimash Rav Elazar Ben Charsom. Or in another version, it's 11 years that Rav Elazar Ben Charsom served. So that we're up to either 290 or 289. Mikan ve'elech. So now we're down to 290 years of the second base of Mikdash. Once we take out these particular Kohanim, ve'elech seve chashav kolach ve'chalos ishnaso. So you're basically fitting 300 Kohen Gadols within that span of 290, 289 years. And so, right, it's not even 1 year per Kohen Gadol. Okay. As a general rule, we all know that the number 300 is usually a number that expresses guzma, expresses exaggeration. Meaning, I think it's fair to suggest over here that the number 300, although the Gemara, by going through specific numbers over here, doesn't sound like from the Gemara that we're talking about guzma, we're talking about exaggeration, but generally speaking, the number 300 is guzma. The point of the Gemara is very simple, is that the contrast between Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and Bayis Rishon, so the Kohanim had Yerushalayim, they lasted for a very long time. In Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim did not have Yerushalayim. In fact, the Gemara over here assigning the second half of the Pasuk of Mishle to the Kohanim Gedolim during the second base of Mikdash, they were Rishayim. Right, Rashi used that language the other day. Right, yesterday. So Rashi used that language that they were Rishayim. The Gemara uses that language that they were Rishayim. Okay, so it was bad news for the Kohanim, the second base of Mikdash. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Torta. Okay, here we go. The Gemara now is going to be quoting destruction of the first base of Mikdash, destruction of the second base of Mikdash. Okay, we're going to hear it a couple times throughout Shas. Right, today's not going to be the only day we hear about causes for the destruction of each of the Batei Mikdash. However, today's probably the most popular of the Gemaras. There's a Gemara Nedarim in one of the Bavas. There's also Gemara as well. But anyway, here in today's daf, perhaps the most popular Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan Torta Mimnei Machar Vashilo. So why was Shiloh destroyed? Mimnei Shayu Bo Shnei Devarim, because there were two things by Shiloh. Now Mishkan Shiloh, by the way, right, somewhat underreported, somewhat underscored in terms of how long it lasted for. It lasted for a long time. Mishkan Shiloh lasted for 369 years, which put side by side, first base of Mikdash 410, second base of Mikdash 420, Shiloh, a really long time, exceptionally long time. So why was Shiloh destroyed? So because there was two reasons why Shiloh was destroyed. So Gilo Arayis would be Zion Kachim. So it's because of the Averas of Gila Arayis would be Zion Kachim. The Gemara is going to go through each one of them. So Gila Arayis, Techsiv Eli Zakin Ma'od. So Eli was very old. This is the very beginning of Shmuel Aleph. So Ushamaz Kol Asher Yasum Banav L'Chol Yisrael V'Sasher Yishkevun Esanashim Hatzav Oz Pesach Oval Ma'od. So the Pasuk says that the sons of Eli, right, Eli was a Kohen Gadol, so his sons, so as the women came in order to bring their karbanos, so the pasuk over here graphically describes how the sons of Eli would sleep with these women. The Gemara in Shabbos, Dafna and Hay, which the Gemara here is quoting right now. Don't read the pasuk literally. You read the pasuk literally and explain the pasuk literally. You're making a mistake. Mitoch. But rather, the way to understand the pasuk, we saw that back in Shabbos, Nun Hay. We're seeing in today's daf as well. Turn to the Amud Beis. Shishawis kinei amia mala alei makasav ki ilu shachvom. What happened was is that the woman would come to bring their pair of birds. In other words, they just gave birth. They're at their malos for a boy, day 41, for a girl, day 81, and now they're bringing their kabbana so that they can be now have achieved full kapara. Remember, they're mechusar kapara until they bring their kabbanos. So now they're going to achieve full kapara once they bring their kabbanos, and then they go back home to their husbands. So what the Bnei Eli would do is that when the pair of birds were given to the Bnei Eli, so they didn't offer it right away. They took their time in offering it. A day later, 2 days later, whatever, they delayed. And the women would not go home until they saw their karbanos being offered. So basically what the Bnei Eli did is that they prevented the women from going home to their husbands. So now, the Pasuk in Navi describes what they did really graphically, meaning that's not the sense at all what you get from the Pasuk. But as we noted numerous times, so what the Pasuk will do, and the Gemara in Shabbos Nun Hei makes this point very clearly, what the Pasuk will do is that the Pasuk will assign a behavior that is much worse than what they actually did, but they are operating on such a higher level that it much more is expected of them. Meaning the action of what they actually did, delaying their wives from going home to their husband, for them on their level was tantamount to an act of adultery. That's why the pasuk speaks in such harsh terms regarding what they did. Okay, so that was Gilu Arayis, as the Gemara describes. Now, Bizayin Kachim Dichsev. Now, what about Bizayin Kachim? So once again, we're in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. And over here, the pasuk says, Beferish. So, Gam B'term Yaktir Mesachil V'van Arakon V'amar Li'isha Zovech Tanaba Solitzlos L'Kohen V'loikech Mimcha Basar Mevushal Kim Chai. So basically, before the Haktara, before the burning of the parts on the Mizbeach, so the demand was, you know what, just give us the meat. Let's eat the meat right now. We want to eat it raw. He says, just wait a moment. Let's take the chelav, let's take the parts of the animal that are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. We'll burn those parts on the Mizbeach, and then we'll give you your chelek. And here, just the back and forth, it's just simple pshat in the psukim. And the response was, no, we're going to take our pieces of meat right now, and you figure it out. So v'tihi chatas anarim gedolam odat es penei Hashem ki niyatzu anashim es minchas Hashem. Clearly there was disdain for the karbanos, meaning they didn't work with the correct procedure of how karbanos works. First give the chelav on to the mizbech, then take the portion that the kohanim are entitled to. So you see that there was bizayon kachim. Okay, so what we have over here is that the Churban Mishkan Shiloh, which lasted for 369 years, so it was destroyed as a result of, number one, Gilu Arayis, and number two, Bizayin Kachim. Okay, and you know where we're heading now. We're heading now to the first base of Mikdash and second base of Mikdash. So Mikdash, Risho Mibnei Macharav. Gemara's assumption is that it was destroyed. It was destroyed. I believe it was the Plishtim. You double check, make right. So I assume with that they also destroyed it as well. That's my assumption. Okay. So Mikdash Rishon. Now, as far as the first base of Mikdash is concerned, Mimnei Macharav, Mimnei Gimel Dvarim, Shayu Bo. So for the first base of Mikdash, there were three things. So Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. Now, they happen not to be any three things. They happen to be the big three, right? The big three in which the Gemara Sanhedrin, the eighth parak, says you have to give up your life for these three. So they are the Averos Chamuros of idolatry, sexual promiscuity, and murder. Now, Avodah Zarah Dechsev. Now, the Gemara is going to quote Psukim in terms of showing that this is, in fact, the case. And we start with a pasuk in Yishayahu, Ki Katzar HaMatzah Mihistareya, right? Difficult pasuk to translate. So, my Katzar HaMatzah. So, we're talking about some sort of mattress over here, basically a bed. And Mihistareya, so I'm Rav Yonos, and Katzar HaMatzah Zeh, Mihistarer Alav Shnei Re'im Ke'echad. So, basically, the word Histareya, we're going to break it up into, there are two friends who are dominating in the bed. Meaning, basically, we're making room in the, it's an analogy. We're making room in the bed for two. One for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the other one for Rachmanis. We're making room for Avodah Zarah as well. Rashi over here writes that you can see in the third line of Rashi. So Shnei Re'im, Tselem Shemid, Menashe Behechel. So Menashe put up Tselem in the Hechel, Menashe being the son of Chizkiyahu. So one of the last kings of the first base of Mikdash, right? We just went through recently. Right, we started with Yoshiyahu, and then we went to the four kings after Yoshiyahu, but Menashe was immediately before Yoshiyahu. So anyway, so one of the last kings, and he put an idol in the base of Mikdash, in the first base of Mikdash. Okay, so that is Avodah Zarah. The Hamasechat Zarah ki his kanes. So Amar Shmuel ben Nachmini kimatu Rabbi Yonasan laikra. So Bachi. So Rabbi Yonasan got to this pasuk in Yeshayahu, and Rabbi Yonasan would cry. So Amar Man dechsebe kones kanei meayam nasal Hamasechat Zarah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu held the water for us. In other words, water just basically stood in its place. And that's what Hashem did for us. And our return to Him is that we took a Tzelem and we put it into the base of Mikdash. The Masecha over here is a reference to the Avodah Zarah. And we basically turned it into a Tzara, co-wife to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's the Avodah Zarah that was during Bayis Rishon. We have two more Averos in which we're going to be sourcing. Gila Arayis Techsev Ayamar Hashem. Yanki Gavu Benosiyam V'telachnem Netuyos Garonu Misakro Sinayim Halach V'tafuf Telachno V'raglem Ta'at to Achsena. So here the pasuk in Yishayahu, in the third parak of Yishayahu. So muster that's given by the Navi Yishayahu to the women, basically what the women were doing is that they were dressing in a very seductive manner. And the Gemara over here is going to go over every part of this pasuk and describe how the women were seductive. So Yanki Gavu Benosi on Shayu Mahachos Aruka Bitzak Tzara. Number one, so a tall woman would be walking right alongside a short woman. And basically, it attracted attention. And basically, they did everything that could attract attention. Number two, they walked with a very upright posture. Number three, they wore a lot of makeup. And number four, they walked with a really slow pace, right? Heel to toe. They did not take normal paces, but they walked really slowly by so they would attract attention. Number five, and so what they would do is basically they would put a pouch of perfume in their shoe, and as they passed a young man, so they would break the pouch, and the aroma would hypnotize the young men who were walking past them. Okay, so this is the behavior of the women at the time, and obviously it led to Gilui Arayos. Okay, Shvichas Damim. And now we're up to murder. So the dichsif. So over here. So we don't need any drashas. We just have to read a pasuk in Malachim Beis. The gam dam nakish afach menasha harbe maod asher maleis yushlaim polopo. So okay. So Menasha killed. Pasuk in Malachim. Right. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. That takes us to Bayis Rishon. And now that brings us up to Bayis Sheni. So, but when you get to Bayis Sheni, so there was Lima Torah, there was a Asiyas HaMitzvah, there was Bein Adam L'Chaver Gemilas Chasadim. So we were doing okay during Bayis Sheni. So why was Bayis Sheni destroyed? So because there was a lot of Sinas Chinam. So it's an interesting contrast. Wow, in the Gemara, in basically one line of Gemara, it says that there was a lot of Gemilas Chasadim and there was a lot of Sinas Chinam. Okay, so probably I'm not really sure it's a question. meaning just in my own personal life experiences. So I've seen often is the time where on one hand you could perform chesed, but at the same time in terms of the manner in which it's performed, how you really feel about other people, okay, there could still be sinas chinam. I don't necessarily think it's a stira. Anyway, sinas chinam. Right? We all know it. It's today's daf. Now, basically, what you could do is you could do a side-by-side comparison. Meaning, if the first base of Mikdash was destroyed for the Gimel Chamorus, and the second base of Mikdash was destroyed for Sinas Chinam, so you see that Sinas Chinam is basically tantamount to the Gimel Averus Chamorus. Okay. Rishayim hayu ela shetala bitchunam ba'akadosh baruch hu. Now, this is a continuation of the Braisa. I kind of lost track where the Braisa began, where the Braisa ended. But this is a continuation of the Braisa and us on the Mikdash Rishon. But this takes us back to the first base of Mikdash. Meaning the first base of Mikdash, they were Rishayim. Now, we understand, by the way, in the first base of Mikdash, they were Rishayim, meaning Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. So, but they thought, but we're good, because we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dechsev, and so here we go to a Pasuk in Micha. Reishas B'shocha Yishpotu Koneb B'mechir Yoru Neviyah B'kesef Yiksamo V'al Hashem Yishanu Leimor Halo Hashem B'kirbenu Lo Savenu Lo Savo Alenu Ra'ah. The Pasuk in Micha basically describes that, look, we were steeped in bribery and other really poor behavior, poor choices, but we figured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would protect us. Okay, that's the Pasuk in Micha. So Leficha Chevi Alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gimel Gzeros Keneged Gimel Averos. So again, we're still now back in the first base of Mikdash. So there were three decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made on behalf of the three Averos. And they are, Shenem Lachem Beglachem Sion Sadeh Techaresh. So a field is going to be plowed over. Yerushalayim Ayein Tiyeh. And Yerushalayim will be in ruins. V'har Abayis Levamos Yar. And Har Abayis will be basically turned into a forest. So V'Mikdash Rishon, Lava Be'Sinas Chinam. Now the Gemara says, now in the first base of Mikdash, you mean to tell me that there wasn't Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam was only introduced in the second base of Mikdash. The Gemara says, V'Aksiv. But over here, we have another Pasuk here, Pasuk in Yecheskel. So the Pasuk in Yecheskel reads, Megurei El Cherev Hayus Ami, Lachain Spoke Al Yadcha. I'm sorry, Spoke Al Yarech. The Amar Rebbe Eliezer. Now this pasuk in Yecheskel so is darshaned here in our Gemara is to be understood as follows: Ela b'nei adam shochlim v'shosim zeim zeh. So what they do is that they get together on many social occasions. However, dokren zed zebechavah shabloshonam. But meanwhile, they cut each other with their tongues. Meaning, so they get together and you know on the face at face value they look like everyone's getting along. But meanwhile, right, they send, you know, I know I'm anachronistic right now, but, you know, they send text messages to one another, right? You heard about him, you heard about him, right? I can't, right? Lashon Hara, okay, and they're cutting each other up. So the Gemara says, so this pasuk in Yecheskel certainly sounds like there was sinas chinam during the first base of Mikdash. And it's not the Masorah that we just presented. We presented that the first base of Mikdash, right, they really liked each other, but there was no sinas chinam, but the Gimel Averus Chamuros. And again, by the way, as much as we asked on the second base of Mikdash, we can ask on the first base of Mikdash. If they really liked each other, so then what's all that killing going on in the first base of Mikdash? But okay, again. The sinas chinam is something more emotional, something more, you know, it's something balev, right? Their actions in the first base of Mikdash, no good. But they generally speaking got along. And meanwhile, the pasuk Yecheskel says, no, they talked behind each other's back. The Gemara says, no, Ayi b'nesi Yisrael havai. The Gemara localizes. The Gemara says, no, there was a segment of the population that spoke poorly about one another, the Nesim. But overall, people were good to one another. Dichsiv, Zak, v'Hilel, Ben Adam, Kihi Aisa be'ami, v'Tanya. So again, another pasuk in Yecheskel. And on that pasuk, we learned in a brisa, Zak, v'Hilel, Ben Adam, Yachol HaKol. I might have thought that applies to everybody. So Tamalam, Rahab, Bechol, Nisi Yisrael. No, it's only talking about Nisi Yisrael. So it was not the general population that involved that were involved in Sinas Chinam in the first base of Mikdash. And Nisim, okay, right, some of the leadership spoke really poorly about one another, but people, generally speaking, were good to one another. Okay, so we have now painted the traditional, I mean, today's daf, the traditional view of what was the cause of the Mishkan Shiloh, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Rav Yonasan, Rav Elazu, Da Armi Tavai, Rishonim, Shin, Nizgala, Avonim, Nizgala, Kitsam. Achronim, Shalom, Nizgala, Avonim, Lo, Nizgala, Kitsam. So Rav Yonas and Rav Lazar made the following comment. When it comes to the first Beis HaMikdash and the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so because their averos were right out there, meaning they were open, everyone could see. You can easily identify what Shichus Damim looks like, what Gila Arayas looks like, and what Avodah Zarah looks like. So because everything was Begilui, so as far as the case is concerned, how long is it is that we're going to be in exile? So the Nevi'im told him 70 years. So however, when it comes to the second Beis HaMikdash, where the averos were all under the hood, sinas chinam, you don't see sinas chinam, you feel sinas chinam, right? It's an emotion. It's a way that people feel about one another. So over there, lo nisgal avonam, lo nisgal kitzam. So therefore, how long is the second galus going to last? So we're still wondering. Right, it's been over 2,000 years, and we're still wondering. Almost 2,000 years, but anyway, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tov, it's the pornam shel rishonim mikreso shel achronim. Here, the Gemara now touches on a topic that comes up a number of times throughout Shas. So here we are, niskanu adoros. So Rabbi Yochanan cites that the fingernail of the earlier generations was better than the entire torso of the later generations. Basically. Right, we don't even match up to a fingernail of the earlier generations. So I'm really Reish Lakish. It's always unclear in these discussions of the Gemara, right? Context, meaning who's the earlier generations, who's the later generations. Presumably, over here in the context of our Gemara, we're comparing those of the Bais Rishon to those of the Bais Sheni. That seems to be the pshat over here in the context of our Gemara. So I'm really Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish counters. By the way, you don't hear a lot of pushback on this concept of niskatnu adoros. But over here in our daf today, we're going to hear a little pushback. Reish Lakish says, no, I don't think so. I think the later generations are better. So afagav de'ika shibud machias kaska b'torah. So Reish Lakish says, look, nowadays we're being subjugated by the nations of the world, and newsflash, there's a lot of limud Torah going on. Okay, so Reish Lakish thinks that it's not true. What Rav Yochanan is saying is not correct. I don't subscribe to niskatnu adoros. So Amar Lei Bira Tochiach. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, can I point you to my line of thinking? Let's take a look at the Beis HaMikdash. Shechazur Lishonim v'lo chazur l'achronim. Beis HaMikdash came back to the Rishonim, meaning for the earlier generation. So the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but they got a second Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, and now the second Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are now a couple of hundred years after Chorban Bayis Sheni. And he says, now, where's our second Beis HaMikdash? And unfortunately, we now, 2,000 years later, are asking the same question. So in other words, so Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, right, the Limud HaTorah is wonderful. I'm not budging from my position. Niskatnu Hadoros. Earlier generations were simply better. Shalos Rabbi Lazar, Rishonim Gedolim, Achronim Gedolim. They asked Rabbi Lazar this question, who's greater? Now, it's important to be aware, although I don't have a satisfactory answer, but it's important to be aware. What's the significance of this discussion? The earlier generations are better, the later generations are better. Meaning they're not philosophizing. Obviously there's gotta be some sort of practical point being made over here. Again, I don't have a satisfactory response to that, but it's important to understand why we're having this discussion. So Amar Luhum Tunuei Nechem Bebira. Now he says, look at the Beis HaMikdash, meaning Rav Yochanan's point, but just echoed by Rav Elazar, which is the Beis HaMikdash will be the ultimate litmus test. For the first, for those living in Bayis Rishon, they got a second Beis HaMikdash. For those living in the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't get a third Beis HaMikdash as of yet. Igadar Miramalam Edechem Bira, in a slightly different version, but seemingly the same point being made, he says the Beis HaMikdash will serve as testimony. The early generation is better. Reish Lakish Avusache Biyardena. Reish Lakish was swimming in the Yardane. So Rabbi Bar Chana goes and gives Reish Lakish a hand, try to help him out of the water. Right, Reish Lakish's beginnings also started out in the water, where he met Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan was swimming at the time. Anyway, fine. So Reish Lakish now is in the yard, and taking a what seems to be just a simple swim. Anyway, so when Rabbi Bar Chana extends the hand to Reish Lakish, Amalei Allah Sanina Lachu. So he says, you know, I really do have bad news for you, and that is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a big fan of you. Now you over here, I know, it's rough. Now, you over here doesn't, right? In English, right. In English, the word you, I've made this point numerous times, the word you, we don't know if it's singular or plural. So over here, you does not mean you in the singular. Lechu means you guys. Now, who is he talking about? Rashi over here writes, Beferish. Lechol b'nei bavashalo, ala b'mei ezra, manu shechina, melavol mashuv, l'shros b'bay sheni. Okay, well, I mean, the second part of Rashi is going to become abundantly clear in the Gemara. But the first part of Rashi is that Reish Lakish is giving tochacha to the entire b'nei bava. Right, they had an opportunity to go make aliyah in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and what did most of the Jews in Bavel do? So they sat comfortably in Bavel and said, we like it over here. Okay, it's unfortunate, but we can relate. So the Gemara says, Allah sanina luchu, zichziv im chomahi nivna alav tiras kesev, im delasi natsura alav luach eres. First we start with the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, look, if you're a wall, so we're going to put a crown on it. And if you're just a door, so then it's just going to be a cedar door on top of it. Okay, that's Shir HaShirim. Like all the Pesukim in Shir HaShirim. It needs explanation. So the Gemara over here gives now the following drasha. If we would have made aliyah en masse when we were building the second Beis HaMikdash, and it wasn't just a smattering 42,000 Jews who came up to build the Bayis Sheni, but it would be a collection of the entire Jewish people who went and made aliyah and built the second Beis HaMikdash. So then, Nishalta Kekesef, Shein Rekav Shalepo, then the Beis HaMikdash would be, and the Jewish people would be, we'd be like silver. In other words, then there would be no rotting. Asher Shalisim Kedlasos, but now, what happened? A doorway. In other words, it's just a smattering, a sampling of the Jewish people came to build by Sheni. And so now, Nimshaltim Keres, now we're like wood. Shaharekev Sholei Bo. And wood's going to rot. And that's what happened with the second base of Mikdash, it rotted. So my Erez, Amar Ula, Sasmagor. Okay, some sort of warm, basically the rotting wood. So my Sasmagor, Amar Rebbe Abba Baskol. Now, in terms of what that is, how to understand what the reference is, meaning what's the symbolism. So what it is a baskol, meaning for the second Beis HaMikdash, we lost Nevuah. We no longer had Nevuah. And it sounds like from our Gemara over here that the Nevuah was lost because of the smattering, the sampling of Jewish people that came back to build Bayis Sheni, as opposed to the entire Jewish people coming to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Kedetanya. Misha Mesu Nevim Achronim Chagat Zechariah Malachi Nestaku Ruach HaKodesh Mi Yisrael. So when the last of the Nevi'im died, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, so no longer do we have Ruach HaKodesh. But there was still something called the Baskol. Okay, it's not for me to try to explain the differences between Ruach HaKodesh and Baskol. All I can simply say, and it's really all I can say, it's really all I can say, is that clearly what Baskol is that it is a lesser transmission of Dvar Hashem. Ruach HaKodesh is stronger, Baskol is a weaker reception. Okay, that part's clear. Now, one follow-up question the Gemara has on this episode with Reish Lakish and Rabba Bar Bachana. Reish Lakish is coming out of the river, Rabba Bar Bachana gives him a hand, and Reish Lakish rejects the hand, and for the reasons that we just articulated. Now, Reish Lakish mimishtai bahade Rabba Bar Bachana. Now, first of all, is Reish Lakish even talking to Rabba Bar Bachana? The personal practices of Reish Lakish, they were amazing. And the Gemara says, Uma Rebbe Elazar Damar Dari Sohava Velohava Mishtar Reish Lakish Bade. Now Rebbe Elazar, so he was the Mar Dasra, right? The chief rabbi of Israel. And Reish Lakish wouldn't talk to Rebbe Elazar. Okay. To say that Reish Lakish was selective of who he spoke with. Now Reish Lakish was a Baal Tshuva, as we all know. Once he was in, he was more than in. Meaning he went up the level in terms of religious growth and religious practices, to the point where he wouldn't be talking to the Mar D'Asra. Now, not out of arrogance, Chalila V'chas, but in other words, but he was just extraordinarily pious and extraordinarily selective. Demand Mishar Reish Lakish Ba'adei B'shok Yavale Iska Below Sahade. Generally speaking, if Reish Lakish spoke to you in the marketplace, everybody knew you must be somebody special. There's no way Reish Lakish is talking to you publicly and you're not the most honest person out there. And so you just got a conversation, a public conversation with Reish Lakish, people will start giving you money, and it would be amazing. So below Sahadeh. So Bahadeh Rabba Bar Bachana Mishtai. So you think he's going to be talking to Rabba Bar Bachana? The Gemara just can't even fathom, can't even believe that Reish Lakish would even be having a conversation with Rabba Bar Bachana. Now, mind you, by the way, the conversation they had, it wasn't that complimentary. Meaning, what he said to Rabba Bar Bachana wasn't exactly the warmest sentiments that were being communicated. But at least he spoke to him, and the Gemara says, I can't even believe he spoke to him. So Amar Papa Shadi Gavri Beinayhu. So the Gemara says, maybe there was somebody in between, a go between. O Reish Lakish Hava Vizire, O Rabba Bar Chana Hava V'Rav Elazar. In other words, basically, we're going to have to sub somebody out of the story. Meaning, the story couldn't have been Reish Lakish and Rabba Bar Bachana. It's either going to be Reish Lakish together with, it's Reish Lakish together with Ziri, and presumably they did communicate. All right, or Rabba Bar Bachana and Rabba Lazar, one of those two. Let's stop over here. Kiyasa, we'll start tomorrow. Okay, let's chazer. Okay, really a basic daf in terms of the daf Yomi. Everyone's generally familiar with it, but now going through the daf with a little more specificity. We start off this morning quoting a Mishnah in Demai. The Mishnah in Demai seemingly has nothing to do with our discussion, but the Mishnah in Demai, which talked about the various tax breaks that were given to the bakers when they purchased their grains from the Amaretz. So explain why it is that they don't have to give Truma Gedola, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, and not even Maaser Sheni. And the reason why is because you had these officers who were installed annually, new officers that were installed annually, and what they would do is that they basically would squeeze out as much money from the bakers they can, and these officers were called the Parhedrin. And what does that have to do with our discussion? Because the Kohen Gadol was sequestered in Lishkas Parhedrin. And basically, it was called Lishkas Parhedrin because, you know, the Kohen Gadol, so like the Parhedrin officers who basically got installed annually, new officer every year, new Kohen Gadol every year, which then segued into the remainder of today's daf. And then the remainder of today's daf, we were comparing and contrasting the first Beis HaMikdash to the second Beis HaMikdash. Notable differences, number one, number of Kohen Gadols that served in the first versus the second Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash lasted 410, second Beis HaMikdash 420. How many Kohen Gadols served in the first Beis HaMikdash? So the number is imprecise. Well, there is a precise number. We just have various gersos of what they are. It ranges anywhere from 8 to 9 to 12 to 18. Whatever the number is, it's a really small number of Kohen Gadol serving the Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, you had 300 Kohanim, basically a Kohen Gadol a year. Take away the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik and the 8 years of Yochanan Kohen Gadol and another Kohen Gadol that served either 10 or 11 years. And basically, with the balanced number of years of the second Beis HaMikdash, so you had, basically, it wasn't even a year per Kohen Gadol. And then, from that point going forward, we discussed why Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We covered the concept of Nizkatnu Adaros, and we ended off today with an episode with the story of Reish Lakish, who was trying to be helped out of the Jordan River, and he refused to help. And not only did he refuse to help, but he gave Musa to Rabba Bar Bachana. And the only follow-up the Gemara had is that Reish Lakish doesn't talk to anybody. So how is he talking to Rabbi Bar Bachana? Okay, the Gemara attempts to give an answer. Mm-hmm.